You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it on William Hill Racing Radio with Sam Turner, John Babb and Dale Gibson in the studio. It's all live from 1:45pm and we have the meetings at Beverley, Sedgefield and Wincanton in the afternoon. It's Chelmsford City and Southwell in the evening domestically, and it's also day three of the May Festival at Killarney over in Ireland. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, good, thank you, Mark. Yes, just coming to terms with what's been a very busy week and another busy week on the horizon.
Yeah, a good week coming up. We've got the 3 days at York with the Dante, obviously, in that festival. And then we've got the Lockinge at the weekend as well, so a very good week of flat racing coming up.
Yeah, the weather's going to play a part, I think, later on in the week. There's quite a bit of rain forecast on Thursday and through other parts of the week, which may change ground conditions, and I should imagine by the time we get to the Friday of the York meeting for Yorkshire Cup Day, it'll be bordering on soft to heavy, and I should imagine it'll be very similar at Newbury for the Lockinge on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. We'll move on to that later on in the week, I'm sure. But let's take a quick look back at some of last week's action. Plenty of classic trials and a little bit of a look ahead to this week as well, because we're going to answer the questions in the Racing Post's Monday jury, starting with which, if any, of last week's Derby trial winners emerged as the best candidate for Epsom?
Probably Kilimanjaro, I think, who won the Linkfield Derby trial. I was there when he won on Saturday afternoon. Wasn't really massively impressed with, I have to say. Wasn't impressed with anything last week, really, if truth be told. But I think of the ones that we saw run last week, whether he'd have the temperament, I mean, he won the Linkfield Derby trial, beating Christopher Marlowe was pretty disappointing. Whether he'd have the temperament or not for Epsom, I mean, where's that hood already? That would have to be a considerably no stamina doubts, obviously. But I was more taken with him than Hans Holbein, who looks more of a ledger horse for me, the way that he kept on all the way to the line. I just wonder whether, if we get good ground, I mean, he very much had the run of the race as well out in front, allowed to do his own thing on rain, soft on ground. If the ground comes up soft, then he probably is the more interesting of the two. But I think Kilimanjaro probably has the better turn of foot. So I think that would be the one that at this stage with a good ground derby, probably more likely than a soft ground derby, the one that I'd plump for. But as I say, I think you can probably tell by the tone of my voice, I wasn't really taken by any of them.
Yeah, that's reflected in the betting for the derby as well. Jack Hobbs is the 4-1 favourite. John F. Kennedy is 7s with Zorak, 8-1 for Elm Park. Giovanni Canaletto is 12-1. Oman River 12s. And 14-1 are bigger prices for the others. We'll probably learn more this week, and that brings us on to the second question. Will we see the winner of the derby come from the Dante Stakes, or have you already made up your mind?
Well, thanks to Andy Holding, thanks to having an each way bet at Jack Hobbs at 50-1 for the Derby before he ran at Sandown. I'm hoping, I haven't made my mind up just yet because I want to see him run again, but I would be surprised if, obviously, we've seen Motivator and a few others come out of the Dante and win the Derby. I think there's been three in the last sort of 6 or 7 years. I'll have to go a bit further back than that for Motivator, actually, of course, three in the last sort of 10. It's usually a decent trial. Obviously, we've got last year's Racing Post Trophy winner Elm Park in the lineup, along with Golden Horn, who won the Field and Stakes at Newmarket at the Guineas weekend. And we have John F. Kennedy, who was all the rage for the Derby, having won his last two starts as a 2-year-old, and rather flopped in the mud, albeit that form doesn't look quite so bad now. We've seen what the winner did yesterday. But again, I think ground's going to prove key. I mean, I'm not sure John F. Kennedy's going to be completely enamoured with the ground, and Jack Hobbs and Elm Park have both shown decent form on a surface with a bit of cut in the ground. So amusing to see who comes out on top. Obviously, Jack Hobbs has had the benefit of a previous run, and I think paddock clues will be key. So we'll see what Ken says live on the track, but I'm quite happy with my anti-post voucher as it stands, so I'm hoping that Jack Hobbs will win, even though I think he's named after a Nottingham Forest player, although there was certainly a Nottingham Forest player named Jack Hobbs anyway. That doesn't really... no, the money's worth more, so that's
true Derby fan there. the Dante Stakes betting looks like this. Jack Hobbs is 2-1, Elm Park is 11-4, 7-2 for John F. Kennedy, Golden Horn 9-2, 6-1 for Oman River, 7s for Giovanni Canaletto, and 10s or bigger for the others. Always a key trial, as you mentioned, and looking forward to that, because there's several in there that could go on to big things in the Derby. So really looking forward to the Dante this week. Third question: after the win of Diamonds and Rubies at Chester, Ryan Moore has three possible Oaks mounts. Who should he pick?
Well, I think I'd stick with the filly who won the 1,000 guineas, Legitissimo, who got going, staying on strongly in the end in that race. And to be honest, I think she won that race. It wasn't the strongest of renewals, but she won that race despite the trip, really, for me. And the fact that they went off quickly obviously played into her hands as well. But she's certainly bred to appreciate the big step-up in trip, and I have no doubts about her staying it. So I'd be with the Watchman fairly ahead of the O'Brien, two Diamonds and Rubies, who did win quite impressively at Chester, but she seems to be improving. And with these fillies, I suppose that's the main thing. They are on a bit of a roll, and they can improve quite dramatically from run to run at this stage of their career. But Legitissimo has already proven in top class company, in Group 1 company, that she's more than capable of holding her own. And of the trio, I would rather ride her, albeit I'm sure she'd probably have something to say about that.
He just doesn't have just three possibles. He's got the top three in the betting.
It's going to be interesting to see which way he goes. Obviously, I should imagine he'll be going over to Valley Doyle and riding them in work, I should imagine. And they've got a Tattenham corner already there, haven't they, built in on the gallops. And it'll give him an indication as to which horse might handle the track best, because obviously it's a very unique track. It's probably one of the strangest tracks to have one of the most famous flat races, if not the most famous flat race in the world. So I'm sure he'll be riding them all and getting a feel for them around the contours of that replica Tattenham corner at Ballydoyle.
Legatissimo 7-2, 5-1 for Found, Diamonds and Rubies 8s, 9s for Star of Seville, Beautiful Romance 12s with Jazzy Top, and 14s or bigger for the others as it stands. Moving on to the next question: which of the French Guineas winners will have the more successful season in Europe?
Very taken by the Aga Collins filly Irvidea, who won the Pouliche, the 1,000 guineas, if you like. I should imagine she'll be coming over for the Coronation Stakes now. Thought Irish rookie ran a cracker in that race, and that actually gives a little bit of solidarity to the form of the 1,000 guineas, perhaps, because she was sixth in the English 1,000. Make Believe rather got the run of the race, whereas Overdale probably didn't really, or certainly not to the same extent that Make Believe did. So no doubt Make Believe is a pretty useful and smart colt, and I should imagine he'll come over for the St James's Palace at Royal Ascot, one would imagine, but I was really taken by the filly Irvidea, so I think she'll probably have the more successful season.
Yep, I would agree. She was very impressive where she came from off the pace. In the way she did, name the winner of Saturday's Lock-In Stakes.
Again, I think a lot's going to depend on the ground here. Obviously, Knight of Thunder has been kept in training this year. He has to be considered. We haven't seen him for a while. Cara Conti obviously has to be respected as well. Winner of the Breeders' Cup Mile will be on much different conditions, but he has got form on soft ground. He won the Prix Jean-Luc Lagardère on soft ground at Longshaw a couple of years ago. Interesting that he has been kept on mainly decent ground since then, but he has proven that he'll handle Medicoid on the ground, so it shouldn't really matter what the ground is to him. And the other interesting one, I think, is Integral of Sir Michael Stouts. Now, she hasn't been seen since finishing seventh in the QE2 at Ascot, but prior to that, she had won the Sun Chariot at Newmarket, making all of the running in the hands of Ryan Moore. She has some decent form, actually. If you go back to that the Free Rothschild, she was third. She wasn't beaten far in that race behind Iso Tate. That was a messy race. And prior to that, she obviously won the Falmouth in soft ground as well. So ground seems to come alive to her too, which is obviously quite a benefit in what's likely to be, what could well be, very testing conditions. So interesting race. No solid opinions yet, 'cause I want to know what the ground's going to be like, but I think they're the three main players.
Okay, final question of the Monday jury this week. Nominate a horse to have run in the last week who could make an impact at Royal Ascot.
I napped a horse called Capel Path in the Queen's colours on Friday at Ascot. And I should imagine, I know he's actually been selected in this jury, but I napped Capel Path on that occasion and thought Ryman was caught napping a little bit, actually, by the horse over on the far side of the track, or may well have been that this horse didn't end up on the best part of the track, was right towards the stand side, but was flying home in the closing stages. But the Johnson horse rather got first run. The Britannia handicap looks the obvious stepping point for this one, and obviously it is Royal Ascot, so I'm sure that's where the horse will be heading next, obviously considering he is owned by the Queen. So Capel Path would be the one that I would nominate.
Okay, Capel Path for Gary there. Then I'll just throw in Mecca's Angel as well, who won over.
Oh, should make, yes. That horse won the sprint and was very impressive. I know it had the benefit of the decent draw, but I think that can often be overplayed at Longshore, and I think, you know, was the best horse in the race by some way as well, and could have been called the winner a fair way from home. Was quite taken, and it's good to see one of the smaller yards, if you like, doing well.
Yeah, and she was trained into 7-1 for the King's Stand on the back of that, so I can see her going well. She might need a little bit of cut in the ground though, which might.
Yeah, that would be the obvious concern. But looking further ahead, obviously the Abbe would probably be more of a long term aim.
Okay, that's the Monday jury for another week. Then we'll move on to Tuesday's racing. Unless there's anything else in your mind, Gary.
Nothing really, no. Nothing in my mind most of the time.
Why change that bit of a lifetime? Let's move on to Tuesday's action, then we'll get Gary's best bets in four of today's races.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We're going to take a look at three races at Beverley and one from Chelmsford City, starting in the 255 at Beverley, which is Division 1 of this Class 5 handicap over 5 furlongs. We've got last year's winner, Amenable, returning for another spin. Gary, only a pound higher than last year's success, and proved to be in decent form with a good second last time as well.
That was at Thirsk, finishing second, not beaten far. Steps back down to 5 furlongs. Interesting that when they've been campaigning this horse on the all-weather, he's already had over 10 runs already this year. He's been running mainly over 6 or 7, but he's been holding his form okay. Well drawn as well to attack. Obviously, this is a horse who likes to try and show good early pace, or can show good early pace, and often leads. Hayley Turner's riding quite well at the moment as well. Obviously, a bit of a plus. I'm going to take a chance on one here, one that hasn't won for quite a while, in the shape of the Tim Easterby Trained Hero Week. Tim's horse is continuing good form. This horse didn't manage to win last year, but prior to that had won at Catterick off a mark of 62 towards the back end of the 2013 season. That was off a mark of 62. Obviously, he's still a little bit higher than that mark, but he's been pretty consistent. We know that he won't mind conditions because it is likely to be quite testing there at Beverley. I see it's soft, heavy in places currently at the moment. He was a good third on his seasonal debut. I should imagine there's probably a little bit more to come from this horse. Obviously, one of the younger horses in the field. So I'm going to take a chance on him with Joanne Fenton on board in Division 1 of that 5 furlong handicap at 2.55.
Heroic for Gary in that one then. The 3.25 at Beverley is the next race we'll look at. This is Division 2 of this Class 5 handicap over 5 furlongs. Not too many of these with recent wins in the book, Gary, but Bronze Boy is the exception to that rule. Won in good style at Hamilton last time.
Yes, for the Christian Stubbs team, Shane Gray takes £3 off this horse's back, as he did when he won at Hamilton in what was likely to be pretty similar conditions. The draw is a little bit of a concern. That said, when they do have a bit of cut in the ground at Beverley, they can often edge more towards the centre to outside. So wouldn't let that completely put me off. Winford Power was likely to try and go from the front as well. That one's got a nice low draw towards the inside. Point North has been in good form of late for the John Boarding team. Has been third and second at Wolverhampton already this year. Prior to that, actually won at Wolverhampton off a mark of 65. Interesting to see how that one goes in conditions. Has been really mainly kept to the all-weather throughout its career, and its only victories have come on the all-weather surface. There's one that I think might well be worth another one taking your chance on here, and that's the Nigel Tinkler trained Tinsel, who actually finished behind Bronzebow last time out at Hamilton. This horse is dropping down the weights. He's almost back down to his last winning mark, and that came at Newcastle in July of last year on similar conditions to what he's likely to get. This horse is likely to get here. Nigel Tinkler's already had one or two winners this season as well. Obviously, he does have a bit to do to reverse that form with Bronzebow, but there's a nice pull in the weights, and I think Tinsel is perhaps better drawn here. So in a race that isn't particularly strong, on a track that Tinsel we know likes, because this horse is a previous course and distance winner, I'll take a chance on Tinsel for Nigel Tinkler in that 3.25.
The 3.55 is a Class 4 handicap. It's over the extended mile. It's for four-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 12 here, Gary, and one of the more open races on the day.
Yeah, very much so. Again, only one of them has won on their most... In fact, that's out now, Solo Hunter, so that's only going to leave us with a field of 11. That probably would have been the selection, actually. And that rather opens the race up a little bit. Ventura Quest for the Fahey team is likely to be pretty popular. This horse has finished fourth on his two runs this year. One of those was pretty disappointing at Chelmsford, but ran a bit better than that at Doncaster last time out. And he's dropping down the weights to a pretty workable mark. We know that Border Bandit likes it here at the track, so that has to be considered as well. That was also second at Hamilton last time out. But the one I'm going to go for is towards the top of the weights. Graham Lee takes the ride on the James Eustace-trained Ice Slice, who was a winner at Newbury towards the back end of last year on softish conditions. Won a handicap there, staying on one in the closing stages, and was a good second at Nottingham behind Your Art Is On Fire, again on ground conditions fairly similar to this when last seen on his seasonal debut. Did have a spin over hurdles just before Christmas, but they soon shelved that plan after a fairly disappointing run. Was second at Nottingham when not perhaps getting the real run of the race, keeping on quite well in the closing stages. And I think this mark is probably still a bit workable for this four-year-old. He's probably got a little bit more to come. So, Ice Slice in the 3.55.
The 8.35 at Chelmsford City is a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for four-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 9 here, Gary. Who do you like in there?
Again, this is probably one of the better races on the Chelmsford card. The usual suspects teaming up in what looks a pretty competitive sprint. The one that I quite like is Desert Command, the Andrew Boarding horse. David Probert takes the ride on this five-year-old who's drawn towards the inside in stall four. Has previous course experience, was fifth here when last seen back on the 26th of April. Prior to that, hadn't been seen for a while, but had some fairly decent form last year, running some pretty competitive events. So ran at Epsom during the Derby meeting off a mark of 84. But a bit slow to relent, the handicapper, if truth be told. But this horse has got previous course form, which, as we're seeing at Chelmsford of late, can really make all the difference in a race that, for the grade, I know it's a 0-90, but it doesn't look the strongest 0-90 ever race. The fact that Regal Parade, who was second here last time out, is likely to be well to the fore in the market, perhaps probably tells you that. So with Andrew Boarding's horses continuing in fair form, Desert Command is the selection in that 8.35.
Good stuff. Let's have a quick summary then, Gary, if you'll spin us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yeah, in the 2.55, we're taking a chance with Heroic. In the 3.25 at Beverley, Tinsel. in the 3:55 Ice Slicen and the 8:35 at Chelmsford Desert Command.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Gary. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Will do.
There you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:45 with Sam Turner, John Babb and Dale Gibson in the studio. It's Beverley, Sedgefield and Wincanton in the afternoon. Chelmsford and Southwell will provide the action in the evening. We've also got day three of the May Festival over in Killarney, so plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.